Probably most of you know Japan is a land of spectacular natural beauty. Recently, quite a lot of TV programs featuring the wildlife and the nature, the natural scenic beauty in Japan. But tonight, it's not my job to present Japan as a tourist attraction or tourist destination, but I want to try and help you to see Japan as the Lord Jesus sees it. So the first half of this presentation may be a bit heavy, a little bit depressing maybe, but be assured the second half you'll be encouraged to know that God is working and doing great things even in Japan. 127 million, and the statistic says less than 1% Christian. That's the official statistic. Actually, that includes Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and anybody else who calls themselves a Christian. Born-again, evangelical Christians in Japan is more like 0.2%. Very, very small percentage of the population of Japan are saved. The land area of Japan is 1.5 times approximately the area of the UK. But you see here the cramped spaces because 3/4 of Japan is covered with mountains and not habitable or suitable for living on. But the vast multitudes live in mostly on city in cities on the coastal plains. So you have the most densely populated cities in the world, and they have to try to make the most of the little space they have. Capital city of Tokyo, as you can see there, and how just gives you an idea of how densely populated these cities are. The second biggest city in Japan next to Tokyo is Osaka, and that's just 20 minutes by train from Kobe City, where we are based. This view of night view of Osaka was the first thing Anne and I saw when we flew into Japan 33 years ago. It was flying into Osaka Airport at night, and as far as your eye could see, just all the lights that impressed upon you the multitudes of people that live in this land. And as young missionaries, you feel, how on earth will we ever have any impact on these vast multitudes of people? But praise God, He takes the little that we have to offer and multiplies it and uses it far more than we could ever imagine. And we'll show you some of that as I go on here. Kobe City, again, where I mentioned the port city, Kobe, where our headquarters is based. City of 1.5 million, so not really one of the bigger cities, but beautiful city, which is one of the main tourist spots. The Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, we're told he was moved with compassion. And this is how he sees the people of Japan, lost and absolutely defenseless against the enemy who goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I'm going to show you the hidden side of the tragedy of multitudes of people who don't know the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, as I go through this show. There's some statistics again. Christians are so few, Christian workers also, many churches without a pastor, and many Christians live in total isolation and in Japan with little fellowship of any kind. It's a land of natural disasters. Every kind of natural disaster you can think of happens in Japan regularly. Every year, we have natural disasters and lots of people dying, losing their lives in these disasters. Not only natural disasters, but there's one in there that you see is not a natural disaster, but it's a man-made disaster. That's the nuclear disaster that happened almost exactly 7 years ago. On the 11th of March, 2011, the triple disaster of the first an earthquake which triggered a tsunami, and that took out a nuclear reactor in Fukushima. And there was a meltdown and radiation leakage. And 16,000 people approximately lost their lives. Hundreds of thousands were left homeless. And even to this day, 7 years later, have not been able to return back to that area. We as a family were involved in a major earthquake disaster in January 1995, almost 10 years to the very day that we arrived in Japan. When we did eventually get out of our apartment onto the street, this was the first thing we saw in our neighborhood, and quite a few of our neighbors died. And at that time, around 6,000 people in that earthquake died in a few seconds. Mentioning earlier the hidden tragedy of Japan. As long as I've been in Japan, for 33 years, and probably goes back even further, around 30,000 people a year kill themselves. That's just the number of the people who succeed. If you include those who attempt it, it's 10 times that number. So 30,000 multiplied by 10, 300,000 people every year in Japan attempt suicide, and a tenth of them succeed. And in case that, you know, you can't get your mind around those figures, that's basically 100 every day. 4 people every hour. And that has been happening for more than 30 years. You've probably heard of the samurai and their code of honor, death before dishonor. That's how far back it stretches, this history and this culture of suicide. World War II, you had the kamikaze. And again, the bottom picture there, more recent, is a modern train station with mirrors to let people see a reflection of themselves to try to stop them from jumping off the platform in front of incoming trains. So that's the hidden tragedy that you don't hear about or see in the tourist brochures or TV programs. Apart from the suicides, you've got 10,000 every year estimated deaths by overwork. Japan is not an individualistic society or culture in any way. It's a group culture and group society. So only as long as you can contribute something to the group, your life has any value. And as an individual, your life is worth little or nothing in Japan. And so in an effort to contribute, the Japanese work themselves to death in many cases. Some of the difficulties that missionaries face in reaching the people of Japan, I'm not going to mention all of them, you can read through them, but the old traditions and cultures and religions. There's two traditional religions in Japan. One is Shintoism, which originally was emperor worship until the end of World War II, when they had to concede and surrender, concede defeat. The emperor had to declare and renounce his deity. So Shintoism then became an animistic form of nature worship, praying to mountains or trees or rocks, anything that was in any way extraordinary in nature. That Mount Fuji that you saw, which is one of the tallest and one of the most well-known symbols of Japan, unfortunately to the Japanese people, that's something that you pray to as a god. It's just one of something like 8 million gods, they say, that exist in Japan. Another aspect of the hidden tragedy is estimated 1 million or so young people in Japan today are living as recluses, locked away in a single room. And that's not just like for a few weeks or a few months. That usually means they're locked away for something like 10 to 15 years and don't come out and show their face to anyone. And part of the group culture in Japan means that everyone is very concerned about how their neighbors see them. If you haven't got a job or if for whatever reason you can't work, these young people, the shame of it forces them to lock themselves away. And they don't, even their own families in the same house don't see them. They just leave, parents leave the food at the door outside the room. And, you know, 1 million or so of these young people, this man's probably around 30, I would say, in his early 30s at least. He's probably been locked away there for more than 10 years. Somehow or other, he must have recovered and allowed this photograph to be taken. So a good friend of mine, Dr. Hiromoto, is a psychiatrist. And been a friend of ours as a family. His family and our family children went to the same kindergarten. And that's where we got to know them. And this is his psychiatric clinic, where he is very much involved with these young people, these recluses. In Japanese, hikikomori just basically means recluse. And he asked me to start some English conversation classes in this clinic. Not actually in the clinic, but in a room up above it on the top floor there. And he introduces some of those people to me, because amazingly, although they don't want to be seen by Japanese people, they don't have too much difficulty speaking to a foreigner because you're an outsider. And through English teaching, English conversation classes, we can reach some of these people. And I've been involved in that now for several years with Dr. Hiromoto. He's not a Christian yet. We've had the joy of seeing his wife and one of his two daughters come to the Lord, and both of them clearly saved and living for the Lord, but he still hasn't made a profession of faith, and we continue to pray for him. Japanese men are the most difficult of all to reach. In churches in Japan, like 80% of the church people in churches are women. And Japanese men are very difficult to reach and usually takes 10, 20 or more years to reach them. This is a little church where I was sent after the earthquake in Kobe in 95, that's 23 years ago. I was sent here to this little country village 60 miles west of Kobe to plant a church where there was no church. There was one lady in the village who is a Christian and was praying that a church would be planted there in her village. That's the lady at the front there. And she was the only believer when I first went there. But praise God, one by one, her family, her husband, her sons, her brother, her mother, and the family one by one get saved, and then others one by one, until we have usually between 10, 20 meeting for worship every week. One of the great encouragements over just the past couple of years is that our son James, who was born in Kobe the year we arrived, 33 years ago, we arrived in January, he was born that August, and just 2 years or so ago, the Lord called him back to Japan. The family left after the earthquake, and since then, I've been going back and forth, spending 2.5 months in Japan, then 3 weeks home. But, you know, James was living and working in Australia at the time, and God spoke to him and called him, and he came back as a missionary. And that's him preaching his first message in Japanese just about 3 months ago, after 2 years of full-time language study. He's now preaching, and that's a great encouragement. You know, he's still only preaching once a month in the little church there in Ibugawa, but, you know, God has been so good to us and to James on the 28th of May last year. He got married to this young Japanese woman. Her name is Yurika, but we just call her Yuri, means lily, the flower, named after the flower. Lots of Japanese girls' names are named after flowers, and her name is Yuri, lily. So her family, all Christians there in that photograph, you see her parents and her sister and her brother. Lovely Christian family. And see this, some of our family. This is her, and you wonder why there's baseball players in this, but that's her grandfather, the man standing in beside her with his wife, grandmother and grandfather in the wedding photo. Her father was a famous baseball player back in the day, 60 years ago, I suppose. He's 81 now, and thanks to the wedding of his granddaughter to James, he has started coming to the little church there. It's not too far away from the where Yuri grew up. And then her brother and his girlfriend of the brother is not yet either a Christian, but she has been coming to the services as well. We're praying for those other members of the family that they will be saved by God's grace also. Miss James and Yuri helping out in the church, and they do all the technological stuff with the PowerPoint. I never had anything like that when I was there on my own, but just since James came back, been able to get things like that organized, and here he is preaching in Yuri's parents' home, because Yuri's parents are, as I say, are very keen evangelist Christians, and they opened their home up for the house meeting. This was just Saturday. I came home on Monday, but last Saturday, James preached in that house meeting to 44 people who gathered in for it. It was his first time to preach there. But, you know, his messages have been a great blessing, and we look forward to him being able to preach more frequently as the days come in the future, coming days, you know. This is a young woman who came to those English classes getting married there just in October last year. And this young woman came there with her mother to those English classes, and through the link up with James and Yuri, and there's an international church in the center of Kobe City. It's called Kobe Bible Fellowship. That's where James and Yuri first met, and where they got married. And then this couple in October, that's the assistant pastor of the church getting married to that young woman. She's my 33 years, the quickest convert I have ever had. They say you work with people in Japan for years. This young woman came to the Lord within 3 months or so of first coming to my English classes in that clinic. And then in October, married the assistant pastor. So that's another young couple stepping out together, along with James and Yuri, into the Lord's service. And that's been a great encouragement. It's her baptism, and then her mother also. So this girl, her sister, and her mother, three of them all baptized in the last 6 months of last year. And the photo beside it where me standing is just last week, actually, on Sunday evening, this time last week, I was preaching in the International Church, Kobe Bible Fellowship, and the American man beside me is actually interpreting it back into English. The two brothers there, the men in the blue shirts, the older one is the senior pastor of that international church. You'd be interested to hear their names. That's Rob and Lloyd Lafferty, with their roots in Galway, of all places. Irish Americans who were born in Japan to missionary parents. And God has been mightily using the older senior pastor there. He's been battling cancer for 9 years. I think 4 years ago he was given just 2 months to live. But God has miraculously raised him up. And last Sunday, he was in severe pain and had to go into hospital, and I was called on to preach in the evening service, and that's his younger brother doing the interpreting for me. But I appreciate your prayers for this man. You know, God is using him in a mighty way. Lots of people are getting saved in this church in the center of Colby City. But he's, as I say, you know, battling with cancer that is spreading through his body. This young couple in front of James and Yuri are the third couple. Last year, in the last 6 months, with three couples. This young woman was a student of mine. She first heard me speak at her high school 15 years ago. First time she heard the gospel. And then after that, she started going to a church and became a Christian. And just a couple of years ago, she reappeared in my English Bible classes. And I was able to introduce her as well to James and Yuri in the church, in the International Church in Kobe, where she met this young man. He is actually a Japanese-American. He was born and raised in America, so he doesn't speak Japanese. And he was back in Japan for the first time, I think, since, I don't know, since he was born, perhaps. But she married this man, and so this is another young couple, Christian couple. Three couples we had all married and going into, you know, the next generation of Christian workers for the Lord in Japan, and that's been a tremendous encouragement to us just over the last 6 months. The school I mentioned there where she was a high school student, I was there again in November, 15th of November, and the whole school, over 1,000 pupils, and including all their teachers as well, and I had the privilege there again of preaching the gospel to over 1,000 teenagers. And that school is a what we call in Japan a mission school. It was originally founded by missionaries, which means it's not a state school and it's not state funded. And we have the freedom of preaching the gospel in those schools. But as far as I know, there's no other missionary or pastor or Christian worker of any kind who can go into the state schools in Japan because of their history, religion, and education are strictly, you know, very strictly forbidden to mix in schools. So there's no religious teaching of any kind allowed in state schools. And yet I have the privilege of going in because of my work in prisons in Japan. And because of a book that I'll show you in a few minutes, I get invited into schools. That book is being placed in the library of every junior high school in Japan. It's a book basically with my testimony and trying to tell the young people of Japan the importance and the preciousness, the sanctity of human life, to stop them killing themselves and to stop them killing others. The prison ministry is a major part of my work. This is the prison where I am a chaplain. I have been for 25 years. A lot of you know that I was saved in prison back in 1978 in the maze. Well, back then, they were still building H blocks. We were in what was called Long Kesh in the political status compounds. And it was in there that God saved me when I was 20 years old. And it's amazing to know that God can take even the most evil things in our lives and through the great work of redemption, turn it into a blessing, not just for us personally, but for other people. And that's what he has done for me in this ministry in the prisons of Japan. Kobe Prison is one of the largest and one of the strictest maximum security prisons in Japan. The capacity is 1,800, but sometimes it gets overcrowded, over 2,000. And you can see how crowded it can become, people sleeping literally on top of each other there in Kobe Prison. This is my regular Bible meeting in the prison. And I'm giving a Gideon New Testament there to the prisoner. I'm only allowed to give them to prisoners who attend the Christian meetings. I'm not allowed to give out literature freely or anything like that to any other prisoners. This is bringing it up to date. Just last month, one of the prisoners in the meeting stood up and testified that he had trusted Christ, and that after he was soon to be released, and he was on his release, he was going to be baptized and become a church member. His wife and two children, also two daughters, have come to the Lord, and that's the most recent encouragement in the prison work. As a rule, I don't baptize in the prison, because in Japan, when you go to a church, baptism is where you're accepted into the church, and someone transferring or coming from outside who is already baptized isn't really fully accepted in a way, so much less someone coming out of prison. So I encourage them to leave baptism, just confess with their mouth in the prison the Lord Jesus, and take the step of baptism in the church where they're going to be a member after they're released. Private talks with prisoners, the strict regulations in Kobe prison don't allow me to have those talks very often, but occasionally I get to speak one-to-one with prisoners, and that's where I feel needs to be more prayer, that I have more opportunities, because I feel can be much more effective on a one-to-one when you're talking about leading someone to repentance and leading them, you know, to open up and repent and receive Christ. This is the best place to do it, but the prison authorities don't very often allow me to have these one-to-ones with prisoners. This is the reason, you know, Japan, the prison in Kobe is at least half of the inmates are what are known in Japanese as Yakuza, and that just basically means mafia. This is the Japanese mafia. They're feared very much by all Japanese people. And God is doing a great work among these men, not only in Kobe prison, but throughout Japan. The man on the right of this has several fingers missing, his little finger and the one beside it, partially from the top half of his fingers missing. That's kind of a trademark, along with these tattoos, how you can identify and know that someone is in the Japanese mafia. They let their boss down in any way, they have to show their penitence by cutting off a finger and giving it to him as a present. So I think he's got about three fingers, maybe at least two on the left hand there, and maybe a little finger on the right hand missing. That man is now a pastor doing a mighty work for God. And he's the first ever in Japan that has been allowed to become a prison chaplain. And apart from his church up in an area of Japan near Tokyo, and he's also a prison chaplain. And God is using him in a mighty way to lead others to the Lord Jesus. Another one of them is this, more recently, this one is a former Yakuza pastor. And some of the world's biggest TV broadcasters, you know, like CNN in America, have taken this man up and done documentaries showing the transformation in his life that Christ has made, and showing him baptizing, you know, leading other criminals, many of them leading them to the Lord in Japan. And his main burden at the moment is that he would love to be a chaplain. to be able to reach prisoners because he was saved in prison. His third time in prison, he was saved. And he asked me to help him get a position as a chaplain because of his, as I say, there's only been one case where a former mafia has been allowed to become a chaplain. And he's finding it very difficult. They wouldn't even let him into Kobe prison to speak. He gets into prisons around Japan, but Kobe prison, because it's so many mafia, they wouldn't let him in there. After 25 years as a chaplain, and because of my work and testimony there, I get invited to speak at conferences like this. These are all senior Ministry of Justice officials. About a third of the people in that conference are governors of prisons, lots of different prisons in Japan. So senior officials in the prisons, and governors, assistant governors, and then Ministry of Justice worker officials who work and are responsible for the prisons in Japan. And I get invited to tell them how Christ can take a life from prison and change it and transform it and use it for the salvation and the blessing of others. And then this occasion, because of what I shared with you in the previous picture, I appeal to these officials to allow more of these former mafia who are now pastors, allow them into the prisons as chaplains, because they're the ones who will be most effective in reaching others, you know, who are in the same background where they have come through themselves. I seek to reach former mafia members outside of the prison. I'm not allowed to have any contact with active mafia members outside the prison. So I can only reach out to former mafia members when outside the prison. The man at the back of there with the bald head, actually I've been witnessing to him something like at least 7 years. And just 2 weeks ago, he came and brought his wife for the first time to the little church that I was showing you at the beginning in Ibogawa. It's about an hour's drive from Kobe, so it's not likely that they'll be able to come every week, but he said that from now on, he hopes to come with his wife at least once a month. I'll ask you to pray on for these men. The other one, the white shirt, that's him, his former mafia tattoos and close friends. And say, recently I was appearing on a TV program, and God used it to speak to this man, and we're praying that he will also come to know the Lord in the coming days. That's just a picture of me before God saved me, just before I went into prison. And as you say, God can transform, the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, can transform any life, no matter how deep they have been in sin. 3 years ago, I think 3.5 years to be precise, my wife Anne and Daniel and Lynn are sitting here, visited us in Japan. And God arranged things in a wonderful way, you know, because we were traveling from the airport back to our mission headquarters, and we stopped in a little restaurant for lunch. And with no idea, but the man who's sitting beside me there, who had been a member of an English Bible class I've done for several years now, he appeared in the restaurant out of the blue, and he said to Anne and James and Daniel, "Thanks to your father's work, I've come to the Lord and I'm getting baptized this Christmas." So he's a pharmacist. He's nothing to do with the criminal world, but he attends an English Bible class that I have just outside the Kobe prison there. And the one behind the counter, the man who owns this little restaurant, is a former mafia. He's just another one of many that I have contact with. And seeking to reach for the Lord. Down below, the man with the glasses is the pharmacist, Dr. Hiramoto, and again, his wife and one of his two daughters are now saved, but we're still praying for him and his other daughter. The other the last area of the ministry that I have there in Japan is through the media. I mentioned a recent TV program. Well, it was this book, a picture of on the right there with my hand up, Naze hito wo koroshite wa ikenai no desu ka? Why is it wrong to murder? And that's the book that I was asked by a major publishing company in Japan to write to reach the young people because of an explosion in violent crime where they were indiscriminately killing, very often killing their own family members. And as I said earlier, a lot of them also committing suicide. So this book was to reach the young people with the sanctity and the value of life. And as I said, it was put in every junior high school. And God used that in a mighty way to open doors all over Japan. So going back to the very beginning when I said, you know, we wonder how on earth are we going to have any impact on such multitudes? This is the way God made for us to do that. And these are all just our examples of newspaper articles. Every major newspaper at least once has carried an article with my testimony and about my work in Japan amongst the prisoners and criminals. This is just some excerpts from that TV program. It was just broadcast there in December the 7th, just before Christmas, and it just shows in the TV program James and his wife and his Japanese family, and then the family who were the first family to become Christians in the little church in Ibogawa. And the guy in the bottom picture, he is the TV presenter. He's one of the most famous TV presenters in Japan. And at the end of the program, when I was talking about reaching out to the young people, in particular in about the suicides and things, he was very moved. And he said, maybe someday I'll be coming to you for your help and things like that. So, you know, he's not the kind of guy that would say something like that usually, and most people were amazed that he came out with such a statement. But this is the TV program. You know, it's not in any way a Christian program. It's a totally secular, anything but Christian program, a totally secular program, but clear and straight in Japanese and English. If any man be in Christ, well, actually, my wife Anne added the English there to let you know what the Japanese says there. But that's what it is, you know, the conclusion of that TV program where I directly preach the gospel. And apart from the people, we don't know how many people watched it when it was being broadcast exactly, but apart from that, on top of that, we know that from checking on the internet, on YouTube, just on YouTube alone, over 1.5 million viewings already since the 7th of December. So this is how God is using, enabling us to use the media to reach multitudes with the gospel. These are all just flyers of different meetings and all over Japan. And this is the verse God gave Anne and my wife and I when we were first heading out. And of course, we needed a miracle to get a visa because of my background, the 6-year prison sentence for terrorism and political offenses. And God gave us this word, and 33 years later, you know, we can testify that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And we've had the privilege of proving that so many times over these years. And trust you'll be encouraged to know. Last Sunday, after preaching in that international church in the center of Kobe, I felt God clearly said to me, the best is yet to come. So do you, you know, I believe that with all my heart, and I trust that you'll be encouraged to keep on praying for myself and for James, our son, and his wife, Yuri, and that we may proclaim the gospel boldly to the multitudes, and that you would pray for Japan, because when you say 1.5 million being reached by TV program and maybe 4 million being reached by newspaper articles, we're still only scraping the surface, still only a drop in the bucket. We need a great movement of God's Spirit throughout Japan to turn the multitudes from all their idols. Shintoism, as I mentioned, the other one, Buddhism. Every family in Japan has a Buddhist altar where they put sacrifices of rice, offerings of rice and sake and stuff like this, and pray to the spirits of the dead. And, you know, for a Japanese to be freed from that, you know, only a mighty work of the Spirit of God can achieve that. And we really do need you to pray with us that many more Japanese people will be set free from their idols to serve the true and living God. Thank you very much.